last time was online. And one of the challenges of Lyme was always finding a different indoor plant to put in the background. So to make myself feel more comfortable, I've brought my indoor plant. It's always a great challenge because I never had that library with all the lines of books that most people have. They're in boxes. Right. And of course, my indoor plant, there has to be a few decorations just to make me feel a little bit more comfortable again. So I haven't actually practiced this at home. I've actually repotted it. So we'll just see how we go. Lucky they're on the screen as well. So I've got Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. What have we got here? The shepherds, of course. Three wise men. It's all right. We'll go through the meal in a minute. And, of course, we've got the shepherds again. So I'm feeling mighty comfortable now. My sister did, actually, for my tree. So she made them. She's very clever, isn't she? I can't sew. Nor do I. So let's begin. So this week, our family began to prepare for Christmas by doing something new. Usually we wait to the 1st of December to go get to the Christmas tree farm and choose a tree. But because this year's been so unusual, we decided to break with tradition. So last Monday we went to the Christmas tree farm and we walked up and down and up and down, enjoying the smell and the fun. And of course, everyone in the family has to go. That's just our tradition. Three cars follow each other out to the Christmas tree farm because, of course, we can't go in the one car. And we finally found a tree. So then we put it in the back of the tarago, of course, not the ute, and we bring it home. We bring it into the house to be decorated. And of course, when you're decorating a tree, there has to be Christmas music. So we give that job to Grace. Then we take out our decorations and we decorate our tree. But as well as those that go on the tree, like these, we have a small nativity scene. And we unpack our small nativity scene and it sits on the mantle above the fireplace. And then when we look at this little nativity scene, it reflects a really peaceful Christmas scene, a lovely, simple picture. There's Mary and Joseph, first-time parents. Well, we got the first-time parents, no. We have baby Jesus lying very peacefully in the manger, and of course, there's clean straw. Oh, yes, well, there's no straw in that picture. But there is an nativity scene. There's animals standing nearby, and so we know there must be an innkeeper somewhere around. And although we don't have any shepherds in our nativity scene, we do have a lamb. And the lamb reminds me of the amazing sound and light show that the shepherds got to see before they rushed to Bethlehem to see a baby Jesus and the parents. It also reminds me of Luke chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. We read of a great company of heavenly hosts that appear to the shepherds with an angel praising God and saying, God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. And then in our little nativity scene, we have three wise men who visit Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus bearing their gifts. However, by recalling Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, let's take this opportunity to pause in the busyness of the season and reflect a little on a different Christmas story as we journey towards Christmas Day. We could probably take those down now. Thanks, Neil. We've got our tree here. So to begin, Matthew introduces us to travellers on a journey. Now, in the NIV translation, they are known as the Magi. In the King James translation, these travellers are known as wise men. In the Message, a band of scholars. And in the Passion, a group of spiritual priests. Though through wider reading, we can discover they could be thought of as experts in astronomy, the interpretation of dreams, and other strange happenings. It has also been said that they were highly intelligent philosophers, that was new, who stopped everything to take these three symbolic gifts to Jesus. Matthew tells of the Magi who came from the east, who travelled to Jerusalem, then on to Bethlehem, with the desire to honour Jesus, the King of the Jews. And it has been suggested that they probably came from Babylon, but possibly from other places such as Persia during the time of King Herod. Now, in commentaries, we can read of Herod the Great being named King of Judea by the Roman Senate in 40 BC. Then over the next 3 years, crushing opposition to the rule of to his rule with the help of the Roman legions. We can also read that Herod was wealthy, politically gifted, an excellent administrator, and clever enough to remain in the good graces of successive Roman emperors. It has been said that he loved power, inflicted heavy taxes on people, and resented the fact that many Jews considered him an impostor. It can also be found in wider reading that he was known for having fits of rage and jealousy, resulting in extreme acts of violence, even towards members of his own family. And of course, we can also read of these acts continuing as a result of orders he gave when he found out he'd been outwitted by the Magi a little further in chapter 2. The Magi, as well as coming from the east during the time of King Herod, Matthew tells that when they arrived in Jerusalem, they asked the question, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" Oh, what a question. They were not looking for a baby who would become a king, but the baby was born a king. The study of the stars led them to believe a great leader had been born in Judea. Jesus was not a baby when the Magi presented their gifts to him, but a small child. And here we can think upon Herod's orders towards all boys, 2 years and under, found later in Matthew chapter verse 16. Matthew in this passage does not mention a stable, sheep, or even a shepherd. The story continues with Matthew telling of how the Magi noticed a star and followed it. But what they saw remains uncertain. Here scholars differ in their opinions. Some commentaries state that the star may have been Halley's Comet, but also thinks its appearance occurred at the wrong time. Others name that the star was a supernova, and others a time when the planets Jupiter and Saturn were in conjunction with each other. And another scholar suggests that since Jupiter was known as a royal or kingly planet, and Saturn, that was sometimes thought to represent the Jews, it was obvious to the Magi that a new king of the Jews was about to be born. So, what was King Herod's response to the question, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" Well, Herod was disturbed, to say the least. Herod was not a Jew, and he was made king by the Romans. So hearing the news from the Magi, it sounded like the emergence of a genuine descendant of the royal line of David, a threat to his throne. And we can also read if Herod was disturbed, then all of the city was concerned with him, the high priests and the scribes. Here Matthew tells of the words of a prophet found in Micah 2. Revealing the place and purpose of the Messiah's coming. But also this verse is a good reminder that there are many layers, themes, contrasts, and strands of thought connected to this passage. However, to highlight and explore these is not the motive behind today's message, which is much simpler. To pause, to recall, to reflect, as we journey towards Christmas Day. And the story continues. From a secret meeting with King Herod, the Magi followed the star and found Mary and Jesus in Bethlehem. They bowed down and worshipped him and presented him with gifts. Matthew mentions that the Magi brought three gifts. However, he does not mention how many travellers made the long journey. However, the gifts the Magi gave were what people in the ancient world would have seen as appropriate for kings or even gods. In a book titled Why Christmas, it describes these gifts. The first was gold, a present fit for a king. The child in the manger was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God himself had come to live as part of our world. The second gift was frankincense, which was used in the temple as a symbol of prayer and pointed to a relationship with God. And the third was myrrh, which was used to embalm the bodies of the dead. Now here it is easy to let one's thoughts drift to Jesus after his death on the cross. But interestingly, in Matthew, the Magi was the first people to honour Jesus who were not Jews. Jesus is the greatest gift to all. And here I also found it of interest that in a book called Matthew for Everybody, that Matthew chapter 27 to 29, in the story surrounding the death of Jesus, the soldiers were the first Gentiles since the Magi to call Jesus King of the Jews. And also in Matthew 27, 45, instead of a bright star leading the Magi to Jesus, we can read of darkness, out of which we are told of a single Gentile voice found in Matthew 27, 54, "Surely he was God's Son." The Son of God, who at a very young age found himself in extreme danger. Herod wanted him dead. Matthew in verse 13 tells of an angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph in a dream, warning him of this danger. And as a result, Jesus and his parents find themselves homeless, fleeing for safety to Egypt. And it was not until after Herod's death and Joseph having another dream that his family circumstances began to change. In this passage, Matthew tells of a young child who is the true King of the Jews. We are told that Jesus lived in a time when there was trouble, violence, and fear. And this morning we have simply taken time to pause, to recall and reflect upon one small part of Jesus' life as we journey towards Christmas Day. And at Christmas Day we celebrate the birth of Jesus, a time when we reflect on such words that are found in John 1:14. God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And regardless of our personal circumstances, whether it is in times of celebration, and I'm very aware of one recent celebration, Julie and John's 50th wedding anniversary yesterday, that I had the pleasure of being a part of. But it's also good to remember, and I thank Marg for also reminding us, that God is always present. And God is present in our times of pain, loss, and grief. And his presence does not leave us when the Christmas season ends. And I know this sounds really simple, but in the busyness of the season, I still find peace when reflecting on this simple truth. Now, before we finish our time together, I think it is also important to acknowledge that although Christmas is a wonderful time, for some, especially after a second year of lockdowns and restrictions, it can be a time of grief, of pain, uncertainty, and exhaustion. And it is because of this I'd like to share a song with you. and I'm really hoping that it works. And when this song finishes, I would like to invite you just to spend a few moments in silence to reflect when you've been really aware of God's presence in your life lately, and simply thank Him. And after this, I would like to invite you to join me in prayer, followed by the worship team, who will lead us in the prayer, the blessing,